Hi, this is Alan Carrington again, and with me again is Linda Westphalen. And Linda and I have are still reveling in our success at our OLT citations, and maybe that will come down off that someday soon, Linda.
Oh, I hope not. I kind of like being up here.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Me too, actually. But, you know, this is the second one of our podcasts, which I know there's going to be a lot of them. But you asked that question last podcast about how technology can enhance learning and teaching. And I went away and it started actually quite a ricochet. And I said to myself, you know, how does that thing? And then it raised another question about is just how do we set up a modern online course?
Mm.
And we need to look at that before we actually answer the question, how does technology improve it? Because if we've got to get the process right for what I call a 21st century technology enhanced learning or course, and then we'll go from there. You know, this is the spiel, Linda, and I know you're going to jump in on this thing, and some of it may even sound strange to you as a qualified teacher of teachers. But this is what I say in a meeting when someone says, how do I do this? I say, well, first of all, it's completely back to front.
Mm.
What you've got to do is start from the end and work back to the beginning in most traditional approaches to curriculum development. I've actually prepared this a flippin' better way to learn,
mm-hmm.
which we're going to talk about at the Learning and Teaching Festival next week. But that whole presentation was to try to answer this question: how do I do it? How do I build it?
Yeah.
Now, starting with the graduate attribute, I'll just quickly touch on them, and then we'll come back and unpack it. First of all, we've got to work out what our graduate looks like. We've got to try to define what we want the graduate, the person that comes out of this course, what are they going to look like?
A student coming into a course wants to have a job at the end of it, one assumes. And one, in many courses these days, these students have to come with particular qualifications. So in my world, it's teaching. You have to be able to be registered as a teacher. If it's engineering, there's some kind of deal approach is there. And so the graduate attributes are kind of fundamental to underpinning the kind of professional attributes as well that you want the human being that's been through the university to come out with, which then accredits them to get some kind of profession.
Yeah, the university has done quite a bit of work on graduate attributes, and we that'll be podcast number 3,230.
Yes.
Here's this, and if you look into the blog, earlier on in my blog, you'll see that I've already started to talk about that. I actually went to America in January of this year, primarily to look at universities that are good at transformational education, we'll call it.
Mm.
But let's come back to this process, and we'll try to unpack more of it as we go along. So we've got our graduate attribute. From there, you say to yourself, okay, what am I trying to get in outcomes? What do I want to get out of this educational experience so that the graduate's going to look like that? And then after I've say, well, there's my outcomes all sort of started to be put down together, and I've got my graduate, a picture of what my graduate looks like, how do I know he or she is going to be like that? So interestingly enough, we've got as step number three, we're talking about assessment.
Assessment, which is also critical because there's lots of different ways of assessing. And when we say authentic assessment, Alan, I should actually get you to unpack that word authentic. What do you mean by authentic?
Well, again, authentic, as I understand it, defined in the thinking on it, is to do with good for.
Mm.
What's it good for in real life, right?
Yep.
So the authentic means that I can actually apply this stuff.
Mm. Okay. And it's also assessing the real attributes. So sometimes when people set assessments, they actually end up assessing something that they don't really need. It's getting the authentic assessment so that what you're assessing is real and that makes sense. And then feeds back to the students so that they are up to date in their own practice and their own learning, and then they can then move on from that based on that feedback.
Okay, so we've got graduate attributes. What the attributes, what they look like. We've got learning outcomes. And now we're talking about authentic assessment. And the next thing with down there is to, and this is why I introduce it to a lot of academics, is I know what I want to achieve by a picture of the graduate. I know what my learning outcome is going to be. I know what my authentic assessment is going to be that measures them so that I know that they're going to be like that when they graduate. So what are they? It's not fair just to dump the student into that.
Mm.
We've got to work out things that they can do.
Absolutely.
To ensure that they are ready for the assessment, which measures the outcomes so that they can, in fact, be a graduate the way we want them to be.
Yeah.
So far, nobody's talked about content.
No.
What we're talking about is process.
And it's amazing because many, many, many teachers, whether at university or not, will come with content first and say, how do I teach this? And actually what they should be doing is going to the other end. So if you think of it as being like a string of pearls, you're not starting at the end of the content. In fact, you're actually starting with the person at the end of the course and thinking, it's like reverse engineering from that. So just to review, graduate attributes, beginning point, learning outcomes, next point, so we're refining down, authentic assessment, so you're working out how you're going to make sure that the person that you've taught has actually learned the things you want them to learn. Then you've got learning activities, which ties into all your constructivism. People learn by doing, they learn by thinking around, but they also learn by action, by environment, by social interaction. And so those things are all critically important and all can be done using technology, so that's really great. Now we get to the last point, Alan, and I'll let you talk about that.
Well, this is a whole question of content in context.
Yes, critical.
It's suddenly you're saying to yourself, and there's lots of technologies in this presentation that is going to be embedded into the blog, and they can see the slides, lambs and stuff like that. But the real good teacher has got to say to themselves, this is the process. The journey is from here to here. At point A, I need to introduce content. At point E, I need to introduce content. I don't need to have content here, I need to have it over there.
Mm.
So content in chunks is starting to be added to the process in context.
Mm. And the moral of the story, it seems to me, is that the technology isn't a band-aid that you add on to a course or add on to a process of learning. You should actually start from the graduate attributes and think about how the technology can be, well, either it can underpin it, but it could also enhance the learning by its inputs at all of those levels, right? So right back to learning outcomes through your authentic assessment. So there's ways to assess using technologies, the learning activities. There's a lot that can happen there for technologies, and then also the context and the content. You're frowning, Alan.
I'm frowning because I'm an overworked research specialist in the area of some extremely important discipline.
Mm.
I've got to teach a course. I've got to design a new course. Just how easy is it to do this?
I think it's probably easier than you think, really. There's complexity there, but there's no reason why a person who's moderately intelligent couldn't work their way around that.
Well, maybe so. I hope you're right. Mm. When I've said to people, define to me what an excellent perioperative nurses,
yes,
what an
absolutely
excellent teacher, what an excellent scientist.
Who's the exemplary? Who's the people that you want to be the top of the tree there?
Now, you're talking, you introduced this concept over coffee before we started, this difference between exemplar and exemplary. Can you just speak to that issue?
Sure. So an exemplar is an example. We're talking
graduate attributes.
Yes. Yeah? So if you're talking about graduate attributes, you talk about your ideal graduate, what you want the person to walk out the university knowing, because that way they're useful to the profession, they're qualified, they've met certain criteria. Now, there are going to be students that don't meet those criteria, and that's unfortunate, but that's the way the cookie crumbles. An exemplary student is a person who meets those graduate attributes but then exceeds them. So they're actually into the profession and working before they've really even graduated. And so that idea of the exemplary student is the ideal that we all should be aiming for, So the graduate attribute plays into that, but that can be seen sometimes as being baseline. I don't want to just turn out a good teacher. I want to turn out an excellent teacher, award-winning teacher. I want a teacher that knows their profession backwards and who can contribute to the profession, not only through the teaching that they do, but also through their process of it.
Yeah. I spent 9 years in Hawaii in a voluntary capacity in the university, and these kids would spend enormous amounts of money to be there. And when we peeled it all back, all they wanted to do was make a difference.
Mm, absolutely.
And that's what, as a teacher, to make a difference, you've got to go for excellence.
Absolutely.
In search of excellence.
And you should have those high expectations no matter what. But we tend to teach to the generic, the middle ground, and I don't think that's good enough, frankly. I think we need to be teaching to churn out not just great, but excellent, outstanding people who you fight to be in their classes because they're just so fantastically awesome to be in. You want Andy Thomas's. You don't want some bloke up the road fixing your car. Do you know what I mean? You want someone who is just who does the university proud, that says, I am a graduate of this university and I came through a process of education that made me an exemplary practitioner in whatever profession that is.
I'm going to wrap it up for this episode because, you know, how long it's getting, because we could talk for hours.
We do.
But I've been talking to Linda Westphalen and we've just started to unpack this question of how do I build a good course and, in particular, a good online course, and how does technology fit and how do I teach to make a difference? Thank you, Linda. We'll talk some more.